It's good to see everybody tonight, glad that you're here. And it is hard to believe that school has started this week. I think it started last week in Limestone County, this week, this past week in Lauderdale County. And it's hard to think about the fact that summer went by so quickly, but it does. Seems the older we get, the faster time goes, just faster and faster. And but it is blessings to think about the fact of the various seasons God gives us. God gives us what we need, and we know that even though it's warm right now, it'll turn cool after a few more weeks, and then winter will be here again, and all that's part of God's plan. We're just grateful for the Lord's blessings for us every day of our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we are so grateful that you have blessed us in so many ways. We are thankful, most of all, for Jesus, for the fact that he established the church, that we can be members of the body of Christ. We're thankful that in each of our lives there are people, maybe a mother or father, a brother or sister, maybe it was a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a Bible school teacher, maybe it was a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, someone along the way took the time to tell us the gospel plan, showed us what we need to do to obey the gospel. We're grateful for that person or persons in our lives that helped us along the way. We're thankful, Father, that you give us your word, the Bible, and your word is truth. We know, Father, that we must go by it to have a happy life and have a good life. We know, Father, that things which disagree with your word are sinful. Just help us, Father, to stay away from sin and have the mind of Christ to be as Christ-like as we possibly can be. Bless us now in our study, we pray through Jesus. And amen. Tonight I want us to read our scripture reading over in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 18, begin at verse number 15. Jesus said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault, between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Tonight I'd like us to look at the subject of, that I've just simply entitled, how to deal with offenses. It is a very practical subject. It is one that we must all think about in our lives. It is the duty, the responsibility of any preacher to preach the whole counsel of God. So Paul told the Ephesian elders, Acts chapter 20, he had preached them the whole counsel of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, certainly it includes the practical aspects of life. And in regard to things that are offensive, we really need to see, what does the Bible have to say? Now, what does it mean to offend? Well, it simply really means to sin against, to wrong, or to make someone angry, either by your words or by your actions. And we want to really think about, what does the Bible say about this evening? Well, first of all, we need to understand that offenses in life are inevitable. Jesus said this over again in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. He says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. Woe to that man by whom offenses come." And so it will happen. Now, it's not God's will. God doesn't want there to be any kind of problems between people, between brothers and sisters in Christ, but there are reasons that things aren't going to happen. One is just the fact that we are human, and we make mistakes. Secondly, because of the very fact that we sin, and we do things that are wrong. Sometimes they are things that we know are wrong, and we go ahead and do it anyway. Sometimes there are other factors involved, but we need to be aware of the fact that nobody goes through life without having somebody offend them, or even causing offenses against somebody. deals. We don't want to, but we know it's going to happen. Now, there are a lot of reasons why offenses happen in life. One is the fact that people sometimes have a quick temper, what we sometimes say, somebody flies off the handle, or they have a short fuse, something of this nature. And that many times, because they have that short fuse or that fly off the handle, they get mad real quick, and no matter what is said, or you can't explain it, they're just angry right away because of what's happened. Sometimes people are offended because they are very, very sensitive. They are easily offended. It doesn't take very much. They don't get real angry, but the fact is they're offended. And it isn't a serious matter. Sometimes it's just pettiness, something that's just a small matter in life, but that sometimes, again, causes offenses. Many times it is just because of the fact of selfishness. People have fallen out. Maybe it's about property. Maybe it's about possessions. Maybe it's about a tiny little scratch on a car. Maybe it's no bigger than a pinhead, but somebody sees that that has happened, and they get terribly offended. It might be because of money. I've known of several cases where there was an inheritance, and people just couldn't seem to agree over an inheritance. Now, I've often wondered, you know, for the person that died, would they want you fighting over money? No, not at all. Suppose somebody died, and they left you an inheritance, you had, let's say, $500,000. But you found out that two or three others that left something, each of them got $3 million each, but you only got half of it. Would you be upset? I know my family where that very thing happened. The lady had five nephews, and she had quite a lot of money, and she left every bit of her money to one of the nephews. The other four didn't get a dime. And one of them took the nephew who had been given all the money to court and said, we deserve to get something. We deserve to have something. She had said she would leave us something. Well, people need to understand that inheritances are really just gifts. If somebody wants to give all of her money to one person or to five people and leave it to a charity or whatever, that's their business. That's their choice. And even if they promise to give it early in life, if they change their mind, they change their mind. Selfishness, quite often, is at the root of much of the offenses in life. Sometimes there are offenses because people have just a problem with their tongue. They gossip, or they meddle in other people's businesses, or they speak evil of somebody. James talked about this in James chapter 3. He says we all make many mistakes. If anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. The fact of the matter is that the use of the tongue, or I should say the misuse of the tongue, again causes many mistakes. Now, the fact of the matter is that when people cause offense, they don't deal with it biblically, they don't deal with it properly, it gets worse. Many a time a person says, well, I'll just let that alone. I'll just put it aside, won't even think about it, won't even deal with it. Well, many times that gets worse. And the fact is, if somebody is offended, they will talk to their friends, they'll ask for advice, they many times will brood over it, they will just let it fester there, it just gets worse and worse. Many times people even nurture the offense, and they try to make it worse than it is. Now, we need to be aware that in the Bible, there are two kinds of offenses. First of all, there is the public offense. This is something that a person might do that usually is a matter of sin, and that is something that needs to be dealt with publicly. You have a couple of examples of this in Scripture. You have a situation where you have Simon in Acts chapter 8. And Simon wanted to have the apostles lay their hands on him where he could do miraculous gifts also. And Peter told him no. He said, may you and your money perish. He offers the apostles money so that he can get this miraculous gift. Peter says, you and your money perish. He said, because your heart is not right with God. So that is one kind, and he tells them to repent and to pray for forgiveness. We also have an example over in Galatians chapter 2, a very, very interesting story, where Paul has gone to Antioch, and before he gets there, Peter has been eating with the brethren and eating with the Gentile brethren. Now, we don't have this problem today within the Lord's church, but you need to be aware of it, that in the first century, there was a tremendous separation between Jew and Gentile. That was something that had risen because of the law, because of the fact that they weren't supposed to have dealings with the Gentiles. The Jews just took it a little bit too far. But the fact of the matter is they would not even eat with a Gentile. And here Peter now is eating with these Gentile Christians. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But when Jewish Christians showed up from Jerusalem, Peter stops eating with them. or eat with the Gentile brethren. And Paul said, I had to confront Peter to the face because he was wrong. And he said, had to rebuke him before all. That is a very important thing. You have one apostle rebuking another apostle because the second apostle has been guilty of hypocrisy. And he said that's what he was guilty of. He ate with the Gentile brethren. They had become Christians. There's nothing wrong with that. The gospel is for everybody. The gospel had been opened up to everyone in Acts chapter 10, Jew and Gentile. And Peter had been equal with them. But when the Jewish Christians showed up, and Peter knew that they wouldn't like that, he stops eating with them. And that kind of hypocrisy, Paul calls him out on. And he says, I had to do it to his face. I had to do it before everybody. So that kind of sin is something that had to be dealt with in a public nature. Now, the other type is private offenses. And that is really between one person and another. It might be because there's an offense in a conversation. It might be somebody has done something that caused the offense. There are all kinds of things that can happen between individuals that are done that are on private nature. Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 18 that if you have this offense, you go to that person privately. You don't talk to everybody in church about it. You don't try to call the person out. Now, Peter had to be called out publicly because his sin was a public sin and he was an apostle. And so that was a different matter. But if it's just between you and another individual, Jesus said you go to that person and try to deal with it. Now, they may not listen to you. They may not want to talk about it. They may say, well, this guy don't want to discuss it. But then he says, then you take two or three others and try to deal with it that way. And then if they won't listen to those, that small group, then you take it before the church at that particular point. But the matter is that you try to keep it as private as possible. Now, we also need to be aware of the fact that when we have offenses, that this can keep us from worshiping God. Jesus talked about this over in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, he said this. He said, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So it's important to think about the fact that a person is about to go worshiping God, and then all of a sudden it dawns on them, look, I've got a problem with my brother over here. And I've got to go deal with that brother. Jesus said, leave your gift, go deal with it, be reconciled to the brother, then come back, and you can worship in that particular way. Now, the fact of the matter is, everybody is going to have offenses in their life at some time. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12, he said, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, there's a lot of things that can be said about that verse, but one thing for sure is that there's going to be some times when you won't be at peace with people. Paul certainly wasn't. He had people who were mad at him. The false brethren were mad at him. He had the Jews mad at him. He had so many others trying to put him to death. Pharisees, Sadducees, and all these others. He had a lot of people that were upset with him. But then Paul says, as much as lies within you, on your part, as far as living your life, you live at peace with all men. You do the best you can to be at peace with people. Now, how do we deal with offenses? This is a very, very important part of our lesson tonight. Well, first of all, if an offense is of a public nature, and it is affecting the church, certainly confession of a public nature needs to be made. You have a situation like we said in Acts chapter 8 with Simon. Simon says this publicly to Peter. Everybody is there. They can hear him offer this money. Peter rebukes him in that situation. Same thing happens in Galatians chapter 2 where Peter is acting as a hypocrite. Paul rebukes him publicly. Certainly confession of sin would be appropriate. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so we need to be aware of that if something is of a public nature, then we need to repent. We need to pray for forgiveness. Now, the other type of sin, that is an offense, that is if it is of a private nature, we need to go to that person. We need to go back to Matthew chapter 18 and trace the steps that Jesus gives us there. Go to the individual privately. Don't talk to your friends. Don't talk to those people in the church. Don't talk to your neighbor, family. Go to that individual. Now, sometimes people say, well, that's hard. That's right. It is. You're absolutely right. It's hard. Someone say, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. You may not want to do it, It may be difficult, but you can do it. And then, you know, the second step that he says there is then, if they won't listen, then take two or three others. Keep it as a small, small thing. And if they don't, finally, the person won't listen to you, won't listen to the small group, then you take it before the church. Obviously, you would take it to the elders. And it's your responsibility. Now, somebody says, well, there's an offense. Whose responsibility is it? Well, let's just look what Jesus said. The person that is offended, what did he say in Matthew chapter 18? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. That is, if you are the offended one, if you are the innocent party in the situation, you have a responsibility to go to that person and talk to them. Explain it to them. That's what Jesus said. But on the other hand, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus said there, he says, if you go to the altar, he says, remember thy brother has aught against you. In other words, if you're the offender in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 18, if you're the offended, in Matthew chapter 5, if you're the offender, in either case, if you realize that there's a problem between you and a brother, you need to go, whether you're the innocent party or if you're the offending party, in either case, you need to go to make that thing right. Now again, people say, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says go ahead and do it. Sometimes people say, well, this is just going to make matters worse. People say, well, if you go and talk to that person, they might, person might get even more angry. They might cause a big stink in the church and might have all kinds of problems. That may happen. But you might go to that person in humility, in kindness, in love. Take your Bible with you. Pray with that person first. And say, look, I've got something I've got to talk to you about. I just have something you just have to listen to me. I've got to talk to you about this problem. And you might have, like Jesus said in Matthew 18, you might gain that growth. Now, if you go with a haughty, arrogant, self-righteous attitude, it probably won't work. That probably won't work. But if you go in humility, you go in kindness, you go in love, you go and say, look, you know, we're brothers in Christ. Jesus died for both of us. We've both been born again of water and the Spirit. We have the same Savior. We have the same spiritual Father. God is our Father. We are brothers in the Lord. And as brothers in the Lord, we need to work this out. And if two people really love God, if they really love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to work it out. Now, it may take time, it may take several discussions, it may take a lot of effort, and it may need to get some other people involved to help them in the situation. But if they won't work out the problems, they can work it out. Now, one thing that's also a responsibility we have there, that when somebody has offended us, and they say they're sorry, it is our responsibility to forgive. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget? Well, if you're going to forgive and not forget, you're not going to forgive. You're always going to have that little incident in the back of your mind. Somebody says, well, bury the hatchet, but I'm going to leave a handle up. Well, that doesn't work. You bury the hatchet, you bury the whole thing. It is taken away. It is gone. Again, somebody says, well, how often should we do it? What did Jesus say about that here in Matthew 18? Peter said, how often do I forgive? 7 times 7? He said, no, 70 times 7. He's not meaning that you keep a score of 490 times. That's the limit when you forgive somebody. He's really saying, you forgive them indefinitely. You might say, well, does that make any sense? Well, just ask yourself a question. How many times have you repented before God? And God's forgiven you? It's 490 times. 4,090 times. 4,090 times. God has forgiven you so many times. And that's what God wants us to do. Just as God has forgiven us, He wants us to extend that forgiveness to our brothers and sisters. Now, there are times when someone might say, well, I've done no wrong. I've done no wrong. There was a situation up in Connecticut where a preacher was having some problems with the congregation. And I thought, well, this is going to be a tough situation. I thought, well, I'll go start with the preacher. I'll talk to him first, and try to get his side of it, and try to talk to him. And I said, you know, in this whole situation, because there have been a lot of conversations, a lot of discussion, a lot of difficulties had come up. His name is Fred. I said, Fred, have you thought anything ill in this whole situation. Even one time we had any bad thought. I said, what I'm trying to get you is that on your part, for anything you might have said that's wrong, or might have said it the wrong way, or might have had a bad attitude, anything, why don't you just apologize for that part, start the ball rolling. He looked at me seriously and said, David, I've done absolutely nothing wrong. I said, well, Fred, maybe in the majority way, maybe they are wrong for the most part, but surely, I said, with all the conversations, with all the arguments, with all the troubles, all the difficulties, surely you had something that you thought, you know, somebody at some time, somewhere, surely in all this time, in all these arguments, you've had something kind of cross your mind, even just for a fleeting moment. Said, no, not once. I've done absolutely nothing wrong. I have nothing to apologize for. I'm not going to apologize for anything. I said, Fred, I'm not saying that you are wrong. I'm not saying that you're the one that is at blame here. But surely, Fred, in some conversation, at some point, at some way, you had did something. I had just a thought. No, not one time. Never. I'm as right as they can be. What does that tell me? Life is as wrong as you can be. Because anytime there is this conflict, there's always a possibility that both parties are wrong. It is possible that both parties have said things, done things, have done things that have caused the problem. So we need to remember that if someone comes and says, look, we've got to talk about it, that we don't just become arrogant and become self-righteous and say, look, I'm all right and you're all wrong. No, I may be wrong. I may be totally wrong. I may have done something or said something that I wasn't aware of that I did that offended you. Boy, I need to make that right. But it doesn't become right by you just letting it go. Now again, I've heard many people say, well, if you go and talk to that person, they're going to get mad. So they get mad. So what? Maybe you talk to them, show them that you love them, show them that you want them to, you know, be walking in the light and doing what's right, not trying to say that you're all right, that you're never wrong. You're just trying to say, look, we're trying to be Christians together, walk in the light together, win a brother. It all depends on your attitude. In the Old Testament, it says in Psalm 133, verse 1, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's very difficult. But it's worth it. I hope and pray that if things come up, if there's ever time when we need to go to somebody, we will go to them. Talk to them. Say, look, we need to straighten things out. And try to gain that brother. Then we're strong in our faith. Grow in the Lord, be able to win others for Christ. Now we're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do it tonight. Believe in Jesus as God's Son. You repent of your sins. You confess your faith in Christ. It's not a confession of sins, it's a confession of faith. It's a statement of faith. We ask a person just like they did in Acts chapter 8, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The person responds, yes, I believe he is the Son of God. Then that person is ready to be immersed for the remission of their sins. This is not something that man has written. It's not something that man has come up with. It's something that you find in the Bible. Everybody in the book of Acts believed, repented, confessed their faith, and was baptized for the remission of their sins. They are not added by man. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the Lord adds them to the church. This is something that people are doing. It's something that the Lord is doing. And if you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do so. If you want you to do so, if as a child of God you realize you need to rededicate your life, why not do that tonight? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come. Always stand while we sing.